door abundantly above everything. Vicky's currently on the liver list to get a liver transplant. Today is her birthday, and Gary was tried to fly us out yesterday and fly us back this morning, and I just told him there was just no way we could do it so we could be with her. But I did tell him I would do a video, that Gary and I would do a video, but then I thought, maybe everybody else should do a video. So here's what we're going to do. Gary's going to turn on, and Gary and I will be standing this way because she'll be doing that little selfie action. And Gary, don't do it yet. No, you're not. You turn. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to give our greetings to her and say happy birthday. In fact, what we'll do is we'll start singing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Then y'all kick in, happy birthday, dear Vicky. And we'll pan around, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. You got it? Practice. Do this. All right, perfect. All right, wait. Hi, Vicky. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Love you.
We are so proud to be friends with you, and we are so grateful that you're in our life. So Gay and I are going to sing it. Are you ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Vicky. Happy birthday.
Can you turn around so they can see it?
To you.
Happy birthday, Vicky. We love you. Okay, that was good. Things we do for our friends. Told Gary I'd do that for $1,000. Well, here we go, man. I just did 18 weeks on, do you remember? Surely by now you've learned these words, justification, sanctification, glorification. It's just been a crazy week. This week has been a crazy week. You remember the movie Two Weddings and a Funeral? Well, reverse that. Mine was two funerals and a wedding. We started with sweet, sweet Samantha Judge, Sammy, as everybody knows her. What a sweet heart she is, Wes. And I've told you, and I'll say this publicly, that man, that family took care of her in the darkest of days, literally for years, but the last months were crazy and just amazing. Just amazing. That was awesome. And then Betty Zakara, is Rachel here? Where are you at, Rachel? Oh, there you are. Yeah, and then we did her wedding, Well, actually, there's a wedding. The bride's going to the groom. But we did her funeral, and what a precious woman she was. And then we did a wedding yesterday. But the reason I wanted to bring that up is at Betty's funeral, what I like to do is get the Bibles from the people who have gone on to be with the Lord, because they tell a lot about the person. I use them as that best I can. And Betty's Bible was really incredible because she was just be honest, you're not going to see my Bible all marked up because I've been using online for years now. So people go, oh, he didn't even read the Bible, you know, whatever. But she was one of those that marked her Bible up. And the first place she marked it was in Genesis. The last place she marked it was in Revelation and all the way in between. But the coolest thing for me, and it what it did for me too, was confirm the direction God is having for us to go for this season. There's a crazy thing happening with the Father right now. I just want you to understand that. He's doing something significant in the lives around us. And what's so funny is I believe he's going to take us back to being a marginal Christian. And what I mean by none of this is in my notes. There's so much inside of me today, y'all. Hope you DVR'd the game. Go back to the beginning stages, and we'll talk about it a little bit today, the persecution of the church and stuff. But the coolest thing is when the church was persecuted, people began to really come to know Christ because they came to know him in the pure gospel of grace. And so in her Bible, she had all of the letters of Paul pretty much, totally marked up. I told the family, she might as well just took a big old pen and circled Romans. I mean, she had it down, but here's what's cool for me. That's why she was so precious. Betty was such a precious, caring, loving woman, and it was simply because she knew the Word and she studied the Word in that area. So here's what I want you to understand today. There's a reason that the Holy Spirit placed more of Paul's writings in the Bible than any other. There's a reason for that. I mean, we have, for Jesus, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're called the Gospels, and that's the life of Jesus and everything that he did, and he prepared everything. Just understand this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are still in the Old Testament. They're not literally in the Old Testament. The New Covenant didn't happen until Christ died. You understand that, right? So when Christ died is when we started walking under this new covenant. So Jesus did all that. Well, then Paul comes in and he has all these letters to all these people. But listen, those letters are incredible. They're about every bit of our life. They're how we are to function. Let me stay on this real quick here. Sorry, I just can't help it. So there's a reason, and let me read this. There's a reason the Holy Spirit placed more of Paul's writings in the Bible than any other place. The pure gospel of Christ, which is the pure gospel of grace, brings complete and total wholeness. Nothing else does. Nothing else does. Here's what Paul said in Acts. He said, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news, euangelion, y'all have heard me teach that, about the wonderful grace," which means unearned favor of God. He said his life is worthless. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The Apostle Paul is known for his depth of knowing Jesus, his constant praying. This is what's so funny. He prayed more than anybody in there. His constant praying and his understanding and sharing of the untainted, pure gospel, the good news of grace. And the question for me is, why was he so bold? How could he do that? I know when, as I'm teaching what I believe and understand, and the word is extremely clear of the truth of who Christ is, you get attacked because people want you to attach stuff to it so that it fits their way of understanding Jesus. It's not about that. This is Paul, his whole life. Man, he was beaten more than anybody. He was in prison most of his life and all this. All this was happening because he stood firm in the understanding that Christ did it all on the cross for us and we had nothing to do with it. We can't attach to it. He stood firm in that. But I'm going to tell you why he did. He, prior to his conversion, he was a religious man. Religion is one thing. Conversion changes people. And Paul's conversion was the greatest conversion ever. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit today, because I want us to get an understanding of this powerful man of God who was, and he didn't look the right part. He was a little short, squatty guy, bald head and couldn't see. Now, how do you know he's bald head and couldn't see? Read the word. So at the end of some of his letters, he's like, "Now I'm writing this in my own hand in big letters so you can see it." Actually, so he could see it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was not overwhelming at all. But here's what I want you to understand. Religion changes nothing. Conversion to Christ changes everything. Here he was. Here's his name, Saul of Tarsus. He was a Jew, which means he was a Jew. He was trained under Gamaliel, and he became a Pharisee. You hear what I'm saying? He was a church leader, man. This was a big-time guy. But here's what the truth is. He hated Christ and his followers, so much so that prior to his conversion, what'd he do? He goes to the high priest of the church, and gets permission to go all the way to Damascus, because Jerusalem wasn't good enough, go all the way to Damascus, so he could take men and women and bring them in chains back to Jerusalem. What a jerk he was. He was terrible. Well, here, let me just read it like I wrote it. He was a terrorist. The Apostle Paul was a terrorist doing evil in the name of his religion. But something changed. Acts chapter 9, I'll do a little cliff notes, sum it up for you. So Paul had gotten his letters. He's on his way to Damascus, the Bible says. And it says, a great light from heaven came down and shone on him and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the first thing out of Saul's mouth was, who is this? Who is it? Which one are you? And Jesus said, it's Jesus. He actually said his name. It's Jesus. And in the original language, which the, really pretty much the only place now is in the King James Version where it says kick against the, in the King James Version it says kick against the pricks. But what that literally is a goad. And it was put on an oxen as they were, as the, you know, they only had normally just one little plow behind them. And it was put on the oxen to keep the oxen in a straight line so that it wouldn't be crooked, right? So it was about an 8-foot pole and it had a hook on the end. And so if they got out of line a little bit, the hook would hit them. Well, sometimes they'd get mad, so they'd kick it, which didn't do anything but hurt them. He who has an ear, let him hear the word of the Lord today. So that's what he's saying. Why are you persecuting me? Oh, I'm looking at my nose, and this is in my brain. He falls down the ground, and Jesus said, you get up, and you go to Damascus, and you wait there. So he stands up, he's totally blind, and his buddies heard this voice but couldn't understand what the guy was saying. So they're freaking out. So the Bible says they led him by his hand to Damascus. And in Damascus, Ananias shows up, prays for him. The Bible says he prayed for him, he's filled with the Spirit, baptized, got up and ate. Because for 3 days he was in Damascus without eating. He was blind, no food, no drink. So what's that all about? See, Paul's conversion, not his religion, led him to his life change. Let me tell you something. We got a lot of folks, we got a lot of Christian folks that are religious, but there hasn't been conversion. He immediately began teaching. After that happened, he gets up, and for the next few days, he just began to talk about Jesus, that he's the Messiah. And he immediately began to tell him that Jesus is the one, you know, and it made the religious folks mad. Listen, persecution comes from religion. You need to understand that. Your worldly friends aren't going to persecute you. They're not. So it angered them. I'll show you how it angered them. Here's what happened at the bottom of the chapter 9 where he just got converted. It says, Paul's preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. So after a while, some of the Jews plotted to kill him. Isn't that weird? Well, weird to me. But you know what? Here's what I love about it. Paul didn't care. Paul wasn't ashamed because he knew, watch this, he knew that through his own experience, the pure gospel was the only religion that could change a life in all areas. If you don't believe it, read his letters. Complete physical healing is incorporated in those letters. Complete marriage healing is in those letters. It's in those letters where he says that, Mr. Men, you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church. Yeah, try that one on for size. Christ died for the church. I might break my arm for my wife, but no, you hear what I'm saying? It's in all of this is incorporated. And forever we have stayed away from this. I'm talking about we who stand up in a pulpit have stayed away from this. Because it's just amazing to me. Because it's through the love and mercy of God that all of this occurs. Complete wholeness in marriage, finances, same thing. In attitude, in love, in service, all change is incorporated in this. Here's Paul again somewhere in one of the, here it is in Romans. He says, I'm not ashamed of this good news, this gospel about Christ. It's the power of God for salvation. That salvation is the word sozo, and it means complete wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. When you get saved with Jesus, it changes everything about everything in us. It really does. And it says, verse 17, this is the good news, the gospel, that tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith, by belief in Christ and what he did on the cross. Paul got this because Paul got this. So incorporated in Paul's life was amazing, because I told you, he got beat up all the time. All kinds of crazy stuff. He got 39 stripes. Well, he got 40 stripes twice and 39 once of beatings on his back. He went through craziness because he refused to back down. And this is so good for Steve Van Zandt, because I get to where I want to back down with what I know is true. You just do. You just want to back down. Why? Because it's a whole lot easier to let people taint the gospel a little bit. Listen, we taint tainting no more. You hear me? You cannot, and the craziness of it is, we taint it by trying to distort his love for us. Anyway, let me stay right here. So his journey, Paul's journey throughout his life, was directed to exposing religious works and tainted grace. And just like Jesus, they wanted to kill him for it. It's amazing to me. So, I want to show you just this one scenario. This is in Galatians, where we've been for 100 years. That was chapter 5. This is actually chapter 1. And it's, I start at verse 6, because Paul was basically trying to share with the Galatians, there is just one good news, not other good news. Now look at this. This is greatness. And that word shock, the reason I highlighted it, that is I am shocked, stunned that you were so stupid. Sorry, Johnny, I should have pointed at your wife. No, but that word incorporate, this ain't play word. In other words, it's not about, well, you know, John, if you would just do a little bit better. It wasn't that at all, man. Paul was fed up with love. I am shocked to the Galatian church that you're turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be good news, but it's not good news at all. If people proclaim to you anything about Christ concerning ugly, that is not the good news. The good news of Christ is the fact that he died on the cross for you and me, and he did it, and he took care of all of our sin yesterday, today, and forever, and he proclaims us, God proclaims us righteous because of what Christ did on the cross. That's the good news. The good news is he loves you so much, he died for you, and even if you don't change, he still has this depth. That's the good news. Anybody that attaches to that, it's tainted. And I'm not ashamed, said Paul. I'm shocked, he said. So, you're following a different way than pretends to be the good news. Verse 7, but it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. In this particular case, what he was talking about was circumcision, because a good Jewish believer was circumcised. Well, here Christ comes in, dies for everybody. Nobody's got to be circumcised anymore except being circumcised in the heart. You get it. So they were coming in to the church saying, oh man, yes, we love Jesus, but here's what you've got to do. And Paul's like, I'm shocked. And he was shocked. He was stunned. Because do you not remember the first time you came to Jesus and you had all this heaviness on you and you started bawling your guts out, and all of a sudden you're free and everybody around you you love, it don't matter anymore. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter anymore. Well, what changed? That's where Paul was at. What changed? All of a sudden, you're attaching something to this. So, the next two verses we're fixing to share were the next two verses that he wrote. This is why he was shocked right here. The very next verse, right here. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus. I'll explain where this revelation came here after a while. But the bottom line is, it's not made up by man. I can't tell you the times I've had people tell me that. Oh man, you just, no, I'm not just. It's in the Word. Are we going to live the Word, believe the Word? Do we want our lives to be different and changed? I don't mean change of all the stupid stuff that we do. I'm talking about change with our attitudes towards people. Paul was a horrible guy. Let me stay here. I'm going to get to his horribleness. I'm ahead and behind and all excited. And I am excited. I'm excited because he's greatness and I'm not, and I get it. So the bottom line is, you see that? The bottom line is the gospel was not Paul's idea. It was God's idea. And because the gospel came from God, it is true. It is true. This is truth. I'm speaking to you truth. I'm not watering it down. I'm not adding to it. I'm not taking away from it. It's truth. Christ did it all. We did nothing. Christ did it all. We did nothing. All we need to do is receive that we did nothing and believe that he did everything for us. Then you'll get to the place where I've shared a million times to you when God looks at the cross, he sees me, ugly Steve Van Zandt me. My ugly tomorrow, my ugly today, my ugly yesterday, he sees my ugly. When he views that nasty cross that Christ died on, that's what God sees as Steve Van Zandt. But when he looks at Steve Van Zandt, he sees Jesus. You get it. You get it. Okay. So, here's then after this. Oh, I was going to say, yeah, this is important. Paul is merely the conduit for truth, not the opinion of truth. You know what a conduit is, right? Your toilet. When you flush it, it runs through a conduit. It's called a pipe, but it rushes through a conduit. Paul was simply the pipe that was letting this message that he taught on, which is Jesus, which is grace, flow through him. He wasn't changing it. He wasn't opinion, and he got beat up for it. So, but here's what's cool. So then the next part of this scripture, he does, Aaron, you've been to seminary. I don't know what they teach now, but back in my day, when you're going to give your testimony, they would tell you to write a 3-point sermon, and being before you came to Jesus, how you came to Jesus, and then after you came to Jesus. That's how they taught us in seminary. So this is exactly, they probably stole it from here because this is what Paul does. Watch, this is greatness right here. So before he came to Jesus, here he is. Here, this is in the same scripture, same flow, same time. It says, you know what I was like. That's before Christ. You know what I was like when I followed Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for my ancestors. See, well, go to the next scripture. This is right before, this is the thing I talked about a while ago before you go to Damascus. It says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill. Let me stop there. Paul never got to kill anybody. See, because he was so religious, the law of the land, of the religious law of the land, the Talmud, if you will, as opposed to the Torah, the instructions were you couldn't kill nobody, but you could take him to the council and then get him killed. That's how Stephen got killed. But Paul was eager to kill, he just didn't get to. Otherwise, he would have, because then if he was, he could kill with his mouth, but not with his fist, because then he would be bad. So every breath, but he was eagerly, watch this, he's eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest, and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any of the followers of the way, Jesus, that he found there, and he wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. This man was horrific. Before Christ, he was a rising Jewish leader, and a Christian hater. He was a religious fanatic. He was a bigot, and nothing could stop him. This is Paul that we just love to read it. No, let's get it. You need to understand, it was the conversion, not his religion, that changed him, obviously. He did reverse evangelism, what I call reverse evangelism. Okay, you have the backup in your mind. By the way, if you want to like not read the whole Old Testament, you might just want to read chapter 7 of Acts, because it's Stephen's address to them. Stephen, here's the first thing the word says about Stephen. It says, Stephen, a man full of power and grace. A man full of power and grace. They pull him aside. They talk lies about him, saying he said that, basically what people tell me, that the Old Testament's, you know, he's saying that Moses isn't important and all this, you know, and so they tell these lies about him. So he goes before the council, that way he can get killed. He goes before the council, and the council, you know, says, is these things true? And then he starts addressing them. If you go to chapter 7, you can read the whole thing about the Old Testament. Like I said, it's like a synopsis of the Old Testament. But then he gets to the point to where he calls them. Here's what he says to them. You have an uncircumcised heart.
Ooh.
The Bible says they got so mad, they took him out, and they started throwing rocks at him. I don't know if you probably don't want to see one, but I have seen a stoning, not live, but on video. I've seen a stoning of a person in the Middle East. We just say, oh, he was stoned. You know, some of us used to make fun. Oh, he was stoned, you know. It's brutal. It's rock after rock after rock, and they just, most of them curl up in the fetal position, and they just smash them till they're dead. So Stephen gives his thing, and then the Bible says, this is how wonderful Saul was. The Bible says Saul, they dropped their coats at the foot of Saul. See, because they had to have some swing room so they could really stone him. They dropped at the feet of Saul, and it says stone that. And the last words out of Stephen's mouth, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. And then he died. Crazy. So right after this death, what happened? They scattered. The apostles stayed in the area, but all the rest of them scattered, just took off running because they were scared. The Bible says, but Saul, he went door to door. See, that's what I was talking about, reverse evangelism. He went door to door, knocking on doors, finding out if they're part of it, and if they were, dragging them out and taking them in chains to Jerusalem where they could go before the council and they could be killed. So here's the thing. Persecution was his service to God. You get it. And he loved the hate. Get this. Persecution was his service to God and he loved the hate. He had no remorse. He had no desire. And he had no need for Jesus. And he was religiously right. Aren't we all there? Here's what's so cool, though. The only reason I believe Paul shared this part of this when he did his before page, Paul shared this testimony to the Galatians to make it clear that he was not a seeker. Do you understand what I'm saying? There were back in the day, it's not so much now, but back in the day, there were churches formed for people who were, you know, kind of seeking God and, you know, interested in God, so they can come to church and figure it out. And this, Paul was wanting to make it clear. I hated him. I wanted nothing to do with him. I don't want him. He wanted to make that very clear. But here's the coolest part. He wasn't looking for Jesus. Jesus was looking for him. Look at this, man. This is what I love. Okay, Ananias, remember, he's the one that's being sent, and he already knows Saul's reputation. By the way, it's Paul or Saul, either one, pick your name. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he's authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people. So Ananias went, he obeyed God, but you can't blame him. Man, there was another time where Paul, after he came to know Jesus, he went into, I believe it was back in Jerusalem, and he was trying to meet with believers, and nobody would meet with him because they were scared of him. They didn't think it was true. Finally, Barnabas came up to him and took him in to meet the apostles, and they realized, well, you know, he's got a powerful message. Maybe somebody really can change. Have you ever thought that? Those people who you don't think can change? Just maybe they can change. Watch this. This is goodness. So, I said that. I didn't finish it. Oh, you're ahead of me, man. You're throwing me. Wait a second. Where am I at? Yeah. No, you're not. But sorry. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by His grace. Then it pleased Him to reveal His Son to me, so that I would proclaim the good news to the gospel about Jesus to the Gentiles. Does that keep going? Yes. Wait a second. Back up, man. Sorry. I have confused myself. But it's okay. Oh, no, that was the end of that one. Never mind. So that was his before. Now, here we move into point two. How did what'd you do before? How did you meet Christ? Now go to, the 15:16. That's it. No, back up. But even before I was born, Paul said, this is his how he came to know Jesus. God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Christ to the Gentiles. So God came into Paul's life without permission. He didn't ask. God came in where he wasn't wanted and he took over. Why? Because it pleased God to reveal his son to Paul. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not fair. You know, because God's never come to me. Oh, yeah, he's chasing. He chose you. What that song just say? That we sang earlier about coming out of the grave. Second, I'll get there. Oh, it's not fair, but Paul wouldn't say that because if God had waited for an invite from Paul, Paul never would have been saved. That's pure grace. That's undeserved favor. And let me tell you something. That was prevalent everywhere. Now we go to that song. When you did that song, it made me think of this point that I had written down. This wasn't just, this happened. Jesus did this a lot. Listen, Lazarus wasn't sitting in the tomb going, man, I just wish somebody would raise me up. The dude was dead. And Jesus raised him up without his permission to a new life. And that when they were singing that song, I thought, that's the truth. I came out of that grave. What? Not because of you, but because of him. Pretty good stuff. So just like Paul, Lazarus was raised from the dead without permission. And then the third point is this. After he came to Jesus, here's his words. When this happened, I didn't rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away to Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. And then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter. And I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God what I'm writing to you is not a lie. Isn't that funny how all of a sudden he could have cared less if he's prior to his conversion, if he was lying or not. Verse 21, and after I visited, I went north into the province of Syria and Cilicia. And still, the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. That is a very important statement. They praised God because of me. It wasn't they praised me because of God. Therein lies the difference. And we're always saying we've got to give the glory to God. What they saw in his life, every avenue of Paul's life, it freaked them out because they didn't think it was true, but then obviously a little time they figured it out. It was his life, how he treated other people, how he lived his life, how he walked his life, how he did his life that was proof in the pudding, and they praised God because of him. So you see Paul's emphasis in these verses is on what he didn't do. See, he didn't go to Jerusalem to be trained by the apostles. He actually dropped out of sight for 3 years. 3 years. Getting his training, his revelation from Jesus. He locked down. I have not that I'm the Apostle Paul, but I had a similar experience in college when I came back to really understand, when I finally recognized God loved me and didn't hate me, that he was for me and not against me. And I had a six-month period of time where I just spent about 4 or 5 hours, and listen, this ain't bragging, this is being brutally honest. I just would sit in my room, in the dormitory, in my room, and I would just sit. And sometimes I'd listen to Christian radio, and you know what? I was so full of grace then that those crazy preachers, I even liked them. You know. Chew this Holy Ghost bubble gum and I promise you, you'll speak in tongue. Or I'll send me $25 and I'll send you a dollar bill and I promise you, if you keep it in your wallet, you'll never go broke. Well, of course you won't go broke. You had a buck. But what's so funny is I didn't judge them. I was so, and I didn't do a lot of talking. I didn't know what to say. I was a rookie. I just said, but I could sense something in me going on. And 6 months of 4 or 5 hours a day, that's my, but imagine Paul for 3 years, just hanging with Jesus out of the sight of everybody. Nobody knows him. That's where conversion comes. That's where change comes, is hanging with him. Well, I just don't have time. Sure you do. I'm gonna bust you like God busted me. I threw my calendar at one time, just said, I ain't got the time, because he was pushing me to spend a little bit more time with him. Show me on my calendar. I just screamed out loud like a fool. And I hear the gentle voice say, get up an hour early. Well, God, you don't understand. I'm not a morning person. How about we just stay up an hour late? That's how we do, right? So it was the gospel of Jesus and what he did on the cross that changed his life, not his religion of his God. Do you see that? That's why it was so, because he literally was changed. So here's my short conclusion with no more scripture. The pure gospel of Jesus comes from God, not man. Paul said that. And it's not the result of an opinion poll or a committee. It is what it is. Jesus did everything on the cross for us, and you can't do anything about it. You can't stop it. Just like when Adam pulled his sin against us, and you know, oh, it's Eve's fault. It's not, stop. They all, both of them chose it. And so the Bible says very clearly that because of that one man's sin, we're all messed up. How unfair is that? Give me a shot at it. Well, no, that wouldn't have worked either. I would have had the app. I probably ate two of them. So we can't do nothing about that. By the same thing, what Christ did on the cross for us, and I am now declared righteous. It doesn't matter what I think or feel. I am declared righteous because of what Christ said, because of what I believe. You have, that's why, from faith to faith, from faith to faith. That's what I said. I'm not ashamed of this gospel because it's total salvation, and from faith to, from the beginning faith, from start to finish, it's faith, 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 faith. And it's not the faith movement that we've had over the years in the past. It's the belief that Christ did for me on the cross that is crazy, stupid, scandalous love. And it is. It's just simply receiving it. And here's another part of that. Conversion to a changed life depends on God alone. Only God. Only God. God alone. Well, yeah, well, what about? Well, no, you've got to believe that he did it for you. Sure. You got to believe. You got to believe. So, one thing, though, Paul did change. Here's what's so funny. Most people think that God changed Saul's name to Paul. No, it's not true. I've thought that for years. It's just not true. The truth is, Paul was in a crazy good position. He was born a Jew, but his dad was Roman, so he had a Roman citizenship. So, His Hebrew name was Saul. His Roman name was Paul. Now, a lot of people think that the reason that he changed his name, started using Paul, which is 13:9, I believe, of Acts chapter 13:9, I think, where he just started using Paul. A lot of people think it's because, and this makes total sense, because you go by Paul now, nobody will know Saul's reputation, right? You know, I mean, there was a day where I had such a bad one, I thought, man, maybe you should change your name to your middle name to call yourself, but I couldn't call myself Eugene, so I didn't go there. Some of them think that. And then others think that the reason he started using Paul was because it was his Roman name so that he could reach out to the Gentiles and all that. And there might be truth in both of that, but I think I got a whole different thing that I think is the reason. In the Hebrew word, the word Saul means desired. I'm the desired one. Desire. I'm desired. I'm valuable. That was Saul. I'll kill anybody I want because I'm going to be a good Jew. I am desired and wanted. The word Paul means little. I don't think he changed it because he was afraid of his reputation, nor do I think it was to become all things to all men, as what he said at one point, so that I might win a few. I think it was because he went from thinking he was all that in a bag of chips to understanding he was nothing. Nothing without Christ. Paul was little. Huge in our eyes, sure, but he was little. The bottom line is, Paul was the worst guy ever, and he was changed by grace, not by his religion. And I wrote this little ditty, and then Charles, you can come up here. This same change from being religious to being made complete and whole will happen to you. Jesus is coming after you. Grace and love guns blazing. Slow down. He'll change your life. Amen. Amen.
Stand to your feet, please. A couple of things stand out to me today about Paul. Steve just said it. Paul says he was the chiefest of sinners, absolute worst. He hated, he loved to hate, he persecuted, he wanted to kill Christians, followers of Jesus, he wanted to destroy them. But after that Damascus Road experience, that conversion, he loved, he sacrificed, he was beaten, he was tortured, he gave it all up. But what stands out to me most is he did not let his past hold him back from sharing and spreading the gospel of Christ. He did not let his past dictate his present or his future. So many of us, and I hear the stories all the time, I do the same thing. We allow what we used to do and what we used to be affect how we talk about Christ and how we share the gospel. Well, they know I used to be this way, and they know I used to do that, and they know this, and they know that. Paul didn't let any of that affect his future. And what he did, he said, I will do nothing but share, speak, teach, preach Christ and Him crucified. I will share the gospel even if it means my life. The man that said to live is Christ, but to die is gain, to live is Christ. Don't let your past and what you used to be or what you used to do affect your present and your future in sharing the gospel of Christ. Don't let it hold you back. We had a lady that used to come to this church. I'm not going to say her name. Amazing woman of God, beautiful woman of God. She would get in and she would start plugging in, and then the enemy would remind her of her past. I can't do that because of my past. Those were the literal words that would come out of her mouth. I can't do this because of what I've done. People won't receive me because of what I've done in the past. Let's not let that affect us. People are out there, our families are out there, our coworkers are out there needing to hear and see the gospel of Christ, needing to see and hear that grace and that love and us sharing that with them with everything that we do. Father God, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. We praise you. You are beautiful. You are amazing. God, we just want to glorify you in everything we do and everything we say. Everywhere we go, God, let our lives speak to your glory. Speak to your love in our lives. Speak to your grace, God. God, we praise you. God, I pray that as we leave here, Lord, that we can leave our past behind. We can walk into the future and share your love, share your grace, share the gospel of Christ, your Son, with everyone we come in contact with, Lord. God, we praise your holy name. You are beautiful. You are amazing. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, Amen.